Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial and you want to stream the program, you can do so not only on the Odyssey app, which is free to download, free to listen. You can also stream on the iHeartRadio app as well as the TuneIn Radio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, everyone. Jeffrey, since I have general knowledge trivia tonight, Dan general McGinnis, so come on down. It's a multiple choice whole game, not just round tonight. I tuned in for some Writer Than Right trivia, and I've got to say, what an absolute battle today.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
No questions missed. This is what happens when you play the game like I do.
Look,
I did not wager all of my points, and I got beat on the last question.
So we can't complain.
Congrats to John in Midtown for a phenomenal round.
It was awesome.
Of trivia. My company, as he is each and every Thursday on the program, he writes about college football and college basketball for CBS Sports. He apparently on ESPN 8 is currently very cold. He's got what appears to be, did you go full Jedi? You look like Ahsoka Tano.
It's kind of like a Snuggie that I'm stealing from my wife for the time being. It's not like cold outside, but I'm in a basement and it's cold in the basement.
No, it's like we used to always joke, the hotter it would get outside in studio, the colder it would get. So we would like all have jackets in our cars in August. And then people would be like, why do you have a jacket in your car? It's like, when the air conditioning starts at the studio, it gets really cold. And so that's kind of what you look like right now.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm fired up for this weekend. Team USA. I wish college football wasn't so spectacular on Saturday, because then I could fully engross myself in the Ryder Cup.
I will say, I guess, thanks be to the commish and maybe the fact that, he prides himself of being such a great New Yorker. Even though he's forcing us to set our fantasy lineups early because, we have a Europe game this week. Heads up, we got the Steelers-Vikings in Ireland. The early slate's pretty bad. Like, we really just need to be done by 3:25 so that we can watch Ravens and Chiefs.
Well, we do have the Titans' best chance at a victory maybe all year.
We have the Titans, and don't forget, Callahan's giving up play calling. Problem solved.
Is that a problem solved when the guy who you hire because of his play calling acumen then gives up play calling?
It's not great, but I love it from Callahan, because if the offense looks even worse, then he can take it back and it makes him look better, so he can save it. The problem with Callahan is, like, man, when you watch the Titans play, they look so poorly coached. And, like, a team that looks just a little bit poorly coached in the NFL stands out so much. Like, when they just don't do little things right, like they screw up, timeouts, they always have, like, mistakes of, like, They're the college team that gets the delay of game penalty out of a timeout.
You're describing Billy Napier's Florida Gators.
Yeah, I hate to say it. Also, my boy Sam Pittman's Arkansas Razorbacks. That was an under. We had a caller on Monday pointed out because he's a Tiger season ticket holder, but his kids went to Arkansas, and he was just explaining. He's like, the Sam Pittman era in a nutshell was you've got to drive to go put the game away, and coming out of a timeout, you have an illegal substitution penalty.
Yeah, and then I flash back to the Ole Miss game when he kicked a 51-yard field goal on 4th-and-2. What are you doing?
With Talen Green.
Yeah.
Now, granted, at the first drive of the game, they didn't realize that Talen was going to run for 9,000 yards in that game. But, yeah, I feel like there's a decent chance if they would have just run, like, quarterback counter or counter read, I think it probably would have been okay.
Yeah. Poor Sam Pittman. But, hey, you know what? Like, they got Notre Dame coming to their place. One of so many opportunities this weekend for ranked teams to go down on the road. I wouldn't put it past Arkansas. That Notre Dame defense doesn't look nearly as good as I thought it was going to be. Talen Green might go up and put up 500 yards by himself.
Talen's been very good. I wonder what the mental state of that team's going to be. Because on the one hand, you can actually spin zone it like this. Yeah, you had two brutal losses. Probably two games you felt like you should have won. But, you know, like when it just starts going south and like everyone, it just feels like it's becoming, you know, fight or flight mode for them. You know, you got the rumors of Petrino smoking the phone lines, working to maybe put the pieces in place for the interim role.
Oh, but no. He and Sam Pittman are close and he's doing everything he can to support Sam Pittman. Okay.
Sure. I believe you. I believe you, Bobby. There's no reason to not trust you. You know, who could ever feel that way?
Yeah, Bobby Petrino has proven himself to be a very trustworthy individual.
No, but I think you're spot on. I mean, this is just an outstanding week of sports. This is what we live for. This is why we put in all those reps during the summer. This is why we go through the month of August with really nothing on the calendar. It's for weeks like this. And I think let's start with tonight, because tonight's not great. Like, let's be real. Other than Cardinals fans and Seahawks fans, I don't know who's super pumped. Got a marginally interesting game in the American. Army is clearly not going to be, like, class Army. But they did kind of, I feel like they kind of found something in that North Texas game. Because I thought North Texas was going to absolutely rout them. They jump up 21-0 or maybe even 28-7, something like that. And then I was sitting back, because Cobb, you know, I have a history of I have a tremendously well-documented history of betting on history, and I was this close to having Army for the first time ever erasing a 21-point deficit and winning the game. And so, like, that could have been special. But they go to East Carolina tonight. I've already seen some guys at ECU with Matt Barry on the scene chugging milk, so looks like they're going to be ready. Seahawks, Cardinals, I don't know. Like, to me in the NFL, it's like these are the classic teams. Like, get back to me in week 8 when I kind of know. Like, both teams have played the Saints and beaten the Saints. The Seahawks lost a heartbreaker at home to the Niners in a game they probably should have won, and then they beat the Steelers. And I have no idea if the Steelers are any good. So, like, these are two games or two teams that I'm just like, when we get a little bit more proof, I'll entertain it. But let's get to tomorrow.
Let's get to tomorrow. Tomorrow's when the fun starts.
All right. So coming up at 3 o'clock our time, we will get the foursomes tee times for tomorrow and the pairings. So what time's first shot?
Oh, isn't it at like 7 a.m.?
Is it 7 a.m. Eastern or Central?
Well, I think in Eastern time zone for work purposes, but I think you're right. I mean, the coverage starts on USA Network at 6 a.m., and I've got it set to record because I don't like to wake up that early.
So I'm showing the Sirius coverage is 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. God, 7 a.m. Okay. All right, so couple of thoughts here. So we got the Ryder Cup, and then I think tomorrow night's lineup's not bad at all. Like, I'm kind of setting aside Houston, Oregon State, like, but I think Florida State going to UVA to see, like, they're, you know, like, is this UVA thing kind of real? Not, like, this is a where ACC dreams historically went to die. It was like going on the road to a non-football power on a Thursday or Friday night. And I believe UVA is celebrating their 30th anniversary of giving Florida State their first ever ACC loss. So that game, I think, is marginally interesting. And then TCU and Arizona State, I think, is really interesting because I know you've got Josh Hoover. I believe he's 2 in your quarterback rankings.
He is, yes.
The thing I love about Josh Hoover is I think he's really good, but he just can't help himself. Even in games that he plays awesome, he's just going to throw a pick for no reason at some point during that game. And it's just kind of it just keeps you on your toes. It makes you feel alive.
Sam Lovett will do the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Good point. I mean,
it's a great Friday night. Great Friday night for college football. As good as you're going to get. Okay, so Jeffrey, can you explain to me why Florida State is only a 7-point favorite against a Virginia team that is, there's no evidence of Virginia being good, man. Like, I know they're 3-1, but that's a cake schedule. The only thing we've really seen from Florida State is them beating the brakes off of Alabama. So I would have thought that Florida State would be a 14.5-point favorite, not a 7-point favorite.
The only thing I can say is Friday night against an offense that can score. And so, but I mean, I'm kind of with you in the sense of like, it feels a little too easy. The only real answer I have for you is gambling brain of anything that looks that easy is usually not that easy.
Yeah, this would be a huge letdown for the ACC. I mean, this would be a disaster.
I guess you could also make the argument trap spot for Florida State because...
With Miami correct. On deck, yeah. But, like, if you're Jim Phillips, PhD, you really need Florida State to not lose to Virginia. You can't be down to, all right, it's Miami or bust in late September. Like, that would be a nightmare scenario for the league.
No, I tend to agree with you. All right, so... early tomorrow, all day tomorrow, which is the best part about the Ryder Cup, is it is like the Friday all day, vibes are high, and it's always electric.
Yes.
And it's the greatest event in golf, and I understand what the Masters is. It is by far the greatest event. Even when I feel like I've been more out on professional golf in the last 5 years than I ever have been in my entire life, like, this gets it going. I mean, I got Carson Daly hyping up the crowd yesterday. He and
Ed O's
been pumping up the crowd. We got rumors allegedly of Michael Jordan perhaps going to be showing up and trying to pump up the crowd. For those that don't know, Keegan Bradley, the captain of the Ryder Cup team, plays at Michael Jordan's club down in West Palm or wherever they are, down in the Miami, greater Miami rich place. And Keegan has a Jordan deal for his shoes. Like, Jordan loves Keegan. So we could have perhaps that. I have spin zoned it in my mind, though, because I don't know about you. I kind of have this problem going. And it's not top to bottom. But I find that there are more likable guys on the European roster than there are on the American roster. Here's been my perfect spin zone, though. I can't lose right now. Because if indeed the rumors are true, and we'll find out in an hour, if Bryson is going off first and he's going to pair with JT, which has the makings of being an unbelievable car crash.
Yes.
It's also very obvious to me, because I said this yesterday, it's well documented how much I cannot stand Bryson. With that being said, he is clearly our second best player, and you have to play him, especially at a course like this where he can just bomb it and have an extreme advantage. So I acknowledge this is the classic, I need you here, buddy. But I can't lose, because if he goes off first and it becomes a train wreck and kills all momentum, literally we can all point the finger at him and just blame him.
Or blame Keegan Bradley for putting his two D-bags together in a pairing and putting them out first.
Okay, but here's the serious question, though. I know Brandel rubs people the wrong way, and if you are someone that says Brandel rubs
people... I love what he said about Bryson.
But like,
I
my
loved
thing is,
it.
Brandel's good for the game, in the sense of, you don't have to agree with it, you don't have to like his delivery, but every time he says something, you at least think about it.
He spoke for our generation when he criticized Bryson DeChambeau the way he did.
Correct.
I think it's all the Gen Zs and teenage YouTube fans that
you mean
don't
the Saudi
understand.
Bots?
Yeah, they don't understand like why Bryson is not, why Bryson doesn't work in a team dynamic, you know, and that's one of my big concerns about this U.S. Ryder Cup. And I'm deeply concerned that they're going to lose at Bethpage Black this weekend, partly because I think the European team is loaded with far more intense competitors. And then the preeminent, like foremost intense competitor on the U.S. team is Bryson DeChambeau. And we don't know what sort of impact he's going to have on team chemistry. And if it's a bad impact, I could see this thing going sideways.
I think he goes, I will say this. If Bryson plays five matches and goes 2-2-1, I would be surprised. I think he's either going like 4-0-1, 5-0, or 0-5, 0-4-1. Like, because Bryson is a guy that when it starts going one direction, it doesn't really start going the other direction. Like, it tends to be pretty consistent. And so, to me, though, to your point, though, I think this is the actual test for me of whether or not, because I think it's been proven over the last 10 Ryder Cups, the greatest home field advantage in sports is the Ryder Cup, whichever soil it's on. We kill them when it's over here. They kill us when it's over there. This is the first, like, real test of, hey, the course fits a lot of their good players, too. And it, truthfully, it doesn't fit a lot of our great players. And then on top of that, you start to have the way the course is being set up, it's probably going to end up kind of being a putting contest because these are all really good players. They're all going to be able to hit it in the middle of the green where, let's be real, a lot of these flags are. That's how we set it. We always set it up easy to try and make it like this for us. So this is like a test of if we come out and win, you know, 19-11 or, you know, even like 17-12, whatever it ends up being, 17-11, I guess, it's just, we might have to have the discussion of, like, do we need a neutral party setting them up?
A neutral party setting them up as in trying to make the course more even?
Yeah,
how does that work?
Less team, home team, like, specific.
Yeah, okay.
Because, like, when we go over there, it's very obvious what they do. They grow the rough up, and they usually pick courses that have a lot of trouble, and they put a bunch of irons in our hands and say you can't hit driver, and then we spray it all over the place. And because they're so used to playing PGA Tour golf, which is bomb and gouge. So, and then when we get it over here, we set it up with basically no rough. We put the flags in the middle and make it a birdie fest, which is largely what tour golf is. And so, like, to me, it's like, if we just have another one, because I think on paper, I'm still a little surprised that the U.S. is as heavy favorites as they are, but I do think Vegas is accounting for just indeed how big of a home field advantage it is to have the Ryder Cup on your soil. What? Because think about it. Remember, in Rome, the Americans were slight favorites going into the tournament.
Well, they're only slight favorites this time, too, which is concerning to me. And
yeah,
you
but,
talk
like,
about-
minus 150 is kind of... Especially when you consider, like, the quality of, like, when you look at the roster, the quality of player, like, it's kind of coin flippy. The fact that they're giving this much to home course, I think matters.
Well, and I would also push back on the idea that this American team is filled with a bunch of bombers. Like, yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. But historically, we have been. That's the thing. I think you can make the argument when they picked Bethpage, it made all the sense in the world because Bethpage is typically a bomber's paradise. But the way that it's gone with
Henley's your second best player right now, and he's the shortest player on tour.
I mean,
JJ Spahn's not a long player. Neither is, I mean, really, Justin Thomas isn't necessarily a super long driver either.
Morikawa's not. Like, Cantlay's not a bomber. Like, really, the long guys that we have are
Cam Young, Bryson DeChambeau,
Xander's long. Scotty gets the reputation of not being long.
He is, though.
Scotty's long. Like, Scotty's long enough. Like, I think also Scotty's the guy that has more in the tank than he uses. But, like, he hits it plenty long, and he knows I'm the best iron player alive. And so he functions that way.
But he's only a career 500 player in the Ryder Cup, man. And that's what worries me. I went through and sort of made a list. Like, who would I classify as dogs on this U.S. team? And who would I classify as being more polite? And then I did the same thing for the European team. And I got way more dogs on that European team. and way too many polite guys on that U.S.
The problem, though, is Scotty, like the Ryder Cup, you know, remember when we acted like he was a St. Jude patient in Whistling Straits? Like, can you believe he's doing this? And then he went and just has dominated golf ever since. But we acted like, you know, we treated him like a special needs patient. He went undefeated at Whistling, and then I think he went 0-for at Rome. And the other thing is, like, Homa played okay. Like, Brooks was a no-show. Scotty was a no-show. Like, we got, I remember there was, like, one of the matches where Brooks and Scotty are playing together, and, like, they got beat, like, 9-8.
Yeah.
All right, so we got the Ryder Cup. Now let's get to Saturday because, I mean, just wall-to-wall. I mean, even the undercard of undercards is delicious because, as you mentioned, we got Notre Dame going to Arkansas. We've already got Lincoln Riley complaining about having to play the latest game last Saturday and then playing the earliest game this Saturday as USC goes to Illinois. That's what the money's for, buddy, big guy. We have that game as well. Also early in that window, we have
Georgia Tech trap spot at Wake.
Yeah, Tim Murray and I were talking about this. I know Cincinnati hasn't really played anybody since then. Cincinnati going to Kansas is interesting to me because I feel like Cincinnati's that team that you haven't watched them play on television in a month and a half, and you'll look up and they'll be like 6-1 in the Big 12 because I don't think they're that bad. But going to Kansas is a good test. Like, these are undercard games, but I think they're like legitimately interesting. And then I still have Kansas State like on dumpster fire watch of like what the heck's going on. UCF going to Kansas State, I think, is pretty interesting. I think those are the best games in the early window.
Well, and then I'll say this, Duke and Syracuse seems more like a basketball matchup, but we are about one or two Fran Brown victories away
The Greg Paulus Bowl.
The Greg Paulus Bowl. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And if Syracuse wins it, you're going to start hearing Fran Brown's name mentioned for, I mean, not necessarily one of the jobs that's currently open, but there could be some SEC jobs coming open in the coming months that let's say an 8-4 Syracuse team would be good enough to get Fran Brown in the mix for some of those gigs. So yeah, that's what I'm watching for with that matchup is the Syracuse keep winning and does Fran Brown keep sort of rising in stardom?
All right. Then we start to crank up the amp a little bit. We're not rocking out all the way, but we're starting to crank it up. Ohio State's got an interesting game at Washington. Is Washington going to be able to keep up enough? I don't know. Like that's interesting to me. Then you also have Auburn at A&M, Indiana at Iowa, and then LSU at Ole Miss. And, I mean, to me, like, those are four games in and of themselves I'm interested in no matter what. And I haven't even mentioned 45 minutes later, Tennessee going on the road for the first time, like true road game for the first time this year, going to Mississippi State, who's got a lot of enthusiasm right now. I would presume those cowbells may not be ringing responsibly tomorrow. Like, I think even that's an interesting game.
Because Jeff Lebby knows every trick that Josh Heupel has in the book. Those two basically work, you know, hip to hip at UCF with each other. They run the same scheme, so there will be no surprises for that Mississippi State defense. They defend that same offensive system in practice every day. That one could get interesting for sure. The obvious headliner is LSU Ole Miss. That'll be primo TV1, like taking up most of the screen time that I'll be spending in that window. And, you know, I mean, look, LSU's got to be able to run the football. They haven't been able to do it yet. But if this just turns into Garrett Nussmeier trying to sling it around 50 times, I think Ole Miss wins this game and maybe wins it convincingly.
The issue with this game is it feels like it's going to be decided by each team's weakness. Because for Ole Miss, the weakness on their defense has clearly been the defensive line. They've not been great at getting pressure. They haven't had a great sack rate. They haven't created a lot of tackles for loss. And really, honestly, if you take out the second half last week when Sumrall put in Sullivan, the Iowa transfer, and he can't move. Like they got a lot of TFLs and sacks like from that, and that's kind of juiced their numbers. They're still like bottom 120 in terms of pressure rate and sacks. But on the other side, LSU has not really blocked Louisiana Tech. They haven't really blocked bad defensive lines either.
They really couldn't even run the ball against Southeastern Louisiana. Yeah.
And so to me, it's kind of like that's the matchup where I feel like this game gets decided. I think I was a little surprised to see most of the look-ahead lines had LSU around 1.5, 2-point favorites. And then when the lines came out on Sunday, it flipped to Ole Miss 1.5, 2, and it's kind of been bouncing back and forth. I was a little surprised to see Ole Miss get it, but home team, and I think what Vegas is kind of saying is like, we think these teams are kind of similar. Home team, we'll make the home team favored, but it basically, to me, it's like, this game's a true coin flip, and that's exactly how I feel about it.
Well, it's so much of our perception of LSU was built upon what we thought was a monumental week one victory at Clemson. In the moment, you're thinking, oh, wow, this LSU defense is legit. They've got the goods to go and win a national title. Well, since then, what has Clemson done but start 1-3 and looked awful? And then you also think about LSU's other, quote, marquee victory. It's a ugly win over a Florida team that it looks like the absolute worst team in the SEC. So Ole Miss is going to be such a substantial upgrade in level of competition. It's the first time that LSU, we think their defense is better, but we don't know that because they haven't played a competent offense. And now you throw in what Trinidad Chambliss is doing with his legs. You know, I just think we could learn or quickly realize tomorrow afternoon that, oh, wait, maybe this LSU defense isn't as good as we thought it was.
No, it's possible, but it's also fair to say this. In Trinidad Chambliss' first two starts, which he's been nothing short of spectacular, the caliber of defense that he's about to see tomorrow or on Saturday is a different level, just in terms of athlete. The speed is noticeable because I agree with you. We don't really know. Like, we don't know if this is a great defense. I will say, eye test-wise, they passed the test a little bit, but we'll find out. And to me, like, that game's super interesting. But I also think the game in College Station is also very interesting because if you're Auburn, on one hand, I mean, just an absolute gut-punching loss in which you think you got screwed, and to a certain degree, it's like, I kind of agree with you. But one thing that I've always seen with Hugh Freeze teams is he can usually get them ready for a big game, but there's usually kind of a roller coaster that follows. But if Auburn sits there and goes, hey, man, we just played one of the best teams in the country last week, if not the best defense, I think probably one of the five best defenses, and we went toe-to-toe with them. We had a ball with a chance to go win the game in the fourth quarter. We're a good football team. Let's go show it next week. I think this is actually a good matchup for Auburn because one thing I do not trust Texas A&M to do is to stop the run, and that's exactly what Auburn wants to do. And then on the flip side, DJ Durkin's defenses are usually pretty good at not allowing massive explosive plays. Like, if you think about what was the explosive play last week, well, it's the play that got the officials most likely suspended. The what have we called it? The Immaculate Deception? Is that what people are calling it? Or the Trick Six, I think. Like, that was really the one explosive play. For the most part, like, it was tough sledding for Mateer. And so if you make A&M go the length of the field and make Marcel Reed, don't let him get those explosives, well, all of a sudden, like, I can talk myself into this being a chance for Auburn to go on the win and get or go on the road and get a massive road win.
Yeah, at the same time, though, you got Texas A&M coming off of a bye.
Yep.
Auburn is back on the road for the second week in a row for the third time already this season. And as you mentioned, the emotional letdown of that loss at Oklahoma. So circumstantially, you think about A&M, too, with a home field advantage here. They're ranked in the top 10. I mean, this is where that Aggie yell, 12th man, whatever. Like, if y'all are legit, like, if you're as great of an atmosphere and a home field advantage as you think you are, you show up and you make life on Jackson Arnold and Auburn just horrible tomorrow. So, I mean, I could see Auburn, like, I don't, like, you made a good case. You made a good case for why Auburn could go out there and do something shocking. But there's also a scenario in my mind where the wheels fall off.
Sure.
And this is the beginning of the end for Auburn. Like,
no, I mean,
so I guess in that sense, we're going to learn a lot about Auburn tomorrow because I don't think anybody thought this was going to be a college football playoff team. But if you're going to have the type of season that suggests Hugh Freeze is going in the right direction here, you know, this is kind of one of those swing games. And so from that standpoint, you know, this is kind of the season for Auburn here, and it's not even the end of September yet.
No, I'm with you, because if you would have just looked at the schedule at the beginning of the season, if you said, hey, they can go get a split of one of those two road games, I think everybody would have taken it. But it's always interesting to watch how emotionally how it plays out, and you don't just sit there and play it on paper. And to your point, if they, like, let's say Marcel Reed, like, let's just say the A&M offense is just explosive, which I'm open to the idea that they might be. They've got a lot of speed. Marcel Reed is not a check down Charlie. He is going to let it rip. And if you tell me they hit a bunch of explosives, okay, like, now we have to start thinking about A&M a little bit differently. And if that's the case, then, all right, you got a bye week. Georgia comes to town. Like, all of a sudden, this is where it can start to spin a little bit. Okay, now let's get to the main event. All right, you and I are both SEC guys at heart. Is Alabama-Georgia TV one?
I was going through this, and it was pretty easy for me, man. It's Oregon-Penn State.
Okay, I'm glad that I'm not the only Southerner that's out there. And part of it, I will say this, is part of it is the pregame. Like, say what you want about the cult of Penn State. When they do the whiteout, the pregame, the fireworks, everything, when they hit the field, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, the ambiance there is undefeated. Now, I will say their track record in the whiteout games is actually not fantastic.
But they're not playing Ohio State or Michigan this time.
That's true. So the reason why Penn State Oregon is TV one for me on Saturday night over Alabama Georgia is because I feel like I know Alabama and Georgia already. I feel like I've lived life with them and seen like their best and seen their worst. I mean, Georgia, we saw them go to Neyland and win a tight game in the fourth quarter and then overtime with Gunnar Stockton finally showing us what he can do. With Alabama, you know, it was the lows of the early season loss at Florida State and then the looking amazing since then and reminding us that, oh yeah, Kalen DeBoer does know how to coach offense. So I feel like we know who Alabama and Georgia are. We don't know anything about Penn State and Oregon. They haven't collectively, they've played zero teams with a pulse between the two of them. So, you know, this is the moment when we actually learn which of these two teams is a national title contender. The winner of this game will firmly cement themselves in the, maybe if not at number one, in the top three of the national title odds. Whereas the loser of this game is going to have a fairly monumental uphill climb back into that conversation.
No, I think you're right. I think also for me, I think with Alabama under DeBoer, there's going to be like a, hey, man, I don't trust you on the road. So, like, go out and prove it to me that you're different. But until, like, I see you do it, like, I just don't trust that they're going to go out and play well on a road game. Like, the one road game they really played well in last year, I guess two, you would say. One was the Wisconsin game, but then we turned out Wisconsin was just like a 5-7 team. And then they went to LSU and absolutely filleted them. But if you remember, LSU last year could not stop quarterback run. And Jalen Milroe just had an absolute field day.
Well, but if you look at it this time, I feel the same way about Alabama's defense. You look at what Thomas Castellanos did to Alabama in week one, and then you start thinking about Gunnar Stockton's skill set. Yeah, I can see a world where Gunnar Stockton runs it 15 times for 107 yards and two touchdowns in this game.
Also in this window, we do have Memphis going to FAU. Sneaky interesting game, I think, in the Big 12 with Arizona going to Iowa State. I am at least a little bit Arizona curious, even though they were impressive for like a half against Kansas State, but then that game turned into like a battle of who wants to lose more. And so, but going to Iowa State, like, I don't know, like that's a decent enough test that, you know, if we're talking about the teams behind Texas Tech that can make a run at the title, like, I think those are two teams that at least I'm open to. We got a real anxiety bowl in Columbia, South Carolina. Like,
yeah.
If Beamer can't beat Kentucky in this Kentucky, I think he's going to VaTech only heats up.
Loser of Kentucky, South Carolina is going to be firmly in the mix with Florida for worst team in the SEC.
Yeah. I don't really see it any other way. All right. Anything else that I missed game wise that you're fascinated by?
Well, I'm moderately fascinated by Indiana, Iowa in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Indiana back that performance up. However, I will not be watching this game because it is on Peacock and I don't want to mess up my quad box with an outside streaming service. So that's disappointing.
You could always bring out the old iPad.
I could bring out the iPad, but man, it's the slate is too good. That's the problem on Saturday. Like, you got to be dialed into these blockbuster matchups. Like, I'm as much as I would love to, like, be watching the Ryder Cup and to be watching Ohio State Washington in the afternoon, it's got to be like LSU Ole Miss. I don't know about you, but like mentally, I can't process what's going on in four games at once. Like, sometimes I have to, like, just force myself to watch one game so that I can actually.
No, I'm massively ADHD. That's never been a problem.
Okay. Well,
I will say this. Does the fact that Ole Miss announced today that they will have the B-2 stealth bomber for their flyover, does that do anything for you? Because honestly, you could tell me the reason why the spread flipped was because the B-2 stealth bomber was coming into town.
Well, or was it because Ole Miss is certifiably in the head of LSU's best defensive player? You know, you got the head coach's daughter dating the best defensive player.
Also, Lane saying take the over makes me want to take the under because I don't know if people know this. Like, Ole Miss SEC games, like, it's an under machine.
Did you watch the E60 last night on Lane?
So I did watch last night. Here were my thoughts. Number one, it was a very entertaining package, right? But nothing until the last segment was kind of new. It was kind of rehashing old stuff that we knew, but it was a good watch because, like, it was a time capsule into, like, a very interesting period of college football and whatnot. So, like, I enjoyed it. On the one hand, I found myself going, he's presenting himself very well. On the other hand, I started wondering, like, is this the image, like, is this the way you want to present yourself to go and get a new gig?
It would be perfect. It would be perfectly Lane to go on this image rehabilitation tour, which includes now this E60, among like many podcast appearances, many one-on-one interviews. Heck, Blake Topmeyer, a friend of the show, has had wonderful one-on-ones with Lane Kiffin that have produced really, really nice articles. It would be peak Lane Kiffin if 2 months from now he accepts the head coaching job at the University of Florida.
Yeah, there's only one gig I would have left for. It's Florida. I mean, I just kind of, in the back of my mind, is kind of thinking like.
Like, I want to believe, man. I want to believe that this is a new man who's going to stay at Ole Miss for the next 15 years and become the most significant figure in that program's history since Archie and Eli and you know, that one day it'll be Hemingway Kiffin Stadium, you know, but like, it's still Lane Kiffin. Like, I he's on the right path, but like, I got to see more.
Well, I mean, he did say he wanted a statue. I was like, I did find myself going, you are at the school that will build you a statue.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought, I mean, the
with a school that doesn't have a great history with statues, by the way.
That's true. Yeah. hopefully that one never has to be torn down.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I thought the most interesting part of the whole documentary was the scene when his daughter explained how when Lane was in the process of debating whether or not to take the Auburn job a few years ago, she and one of her friends made this video montage of all the wonderful memories they were making in Oxford and took it to the office and had him sit down and watch that. And
I have to know what the song was. She said she picked a sad song. I have to know.
Yeah, I do too, man.
Because I was like, is it Kelly Clarkson Sober? Like, I was like, I was trying to like go through. Was it Fast Car? Like, what are the sad ones?
Ooh, I can see Fast Car being the one. Yeah, but that made a difference in his decision. So I don't know, man. Like, there's a part of me that like wants to buy all the way in on Lane Kiffin, but you work in this industry long enough, and you just are around people long enough in general, and you always got to be skeptical, right? Because like, we feel like we know Lane Kiffin, but we don't know him personally.
No.
Now, I will say there are people who do know him personally who are commenting on it and advocating for, yeah, this is a new Lane Kiffin. This is a different guy. You know, I don't know.
No, and I think that's part of it. I think that's also why Lane's interesting.
Well, and his kid's now a quarterback at Oxford High. So, like, that's another reason not to move, not to take another job. Like, he's playing for,
It's Chris Cutcliffe. It's Chris Cutcliffe. It's David's son.
Yeah, it's David Cutcliffe's son.
Yeah.
Who runs a lot of the same stuff that, like, Kiffin teaches. So, like, anyway, that's another reason for Lane Kiffin not to take another job. But, you know, it's Lane Kiffin.
It's Lane Kiffin. That's what makes it interesting. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Eric Hasenstein joins the program next. Stick around and listen to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Music Means, we welcome on the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. He, of course, is Eric Hasenstein. Eric, what's your media day schedule on Monday?
Not existent, because I won't be there.
I thought like you do like something.
No, I'm not. I'm out of town. I'm not going to be there.
Okay.
I'm way out of town, bro.
Are you like
I'm not anywhere near?
Are you on the same continent?
No.
Good for you. Good for you.
No, not even close. Not even remotely close to the same continent.
Well,
no.
I'm glad that you're going to take some time off before the season gets going, because it'll be a grind.
Yeah, I take this trip. I started taking it last year, but I'm going to take it like pretty much every year to see a good friend who's retired overseas, and then I just
Yeah. You're literally going to like the furthest point, or the farthest point away from us on the calendar.
Yeah.
Or on the
26 hours of travel away, and
I forgot about this trip.
It really wasn't that bad.
I can't sleep on planes. That's the problem.
You would have slept on this one. Yeah. I don't do it as well. I do it better than I used to. I used to not do it at all.
I mean, there was one time coming up from Europe. Remember when we had the Amsterdam-Memphis flight with KLM? So I was coming back, and the flight out of Geneva was delayed for like 8 or 10 hours. So I literally spent like, I think I was conscious for 42 straight hours. Like I was like 6 hours away from the point of which like I could have committed a violent crime and could have argued insanity.
And not realize it. Yeah, no, yeah. I do get that. So I ended up going through Detroit because I was initially going through Salt Lake City, which the Detroit airport was phenomenal.
It's the best airport in America.
I had no idea.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. The high ceilings.
Detroit 1 year. During,
it's the best.
Yeah, I flew to Detroit 1 year after we had the added games.
The Cup games
in Phoenix. Cup games. The first year we finished in Phoenix, and by all accounts, we said, okay, well, we only play Golden State and the Lakers or Sacramento once, and if they're not in it, if they're not in the quarterfinals, we'll just go from Phoenix up north, right? That just makes the most sense. No, we were not good. That was the injury year, and so they don't do it based on your schedule as much as sometimes the seating, and we were down at the bottom, and so was Detroit, so we got Detroit. So I was going to see my friend in Las Vegas, who's the television voice of the hockey team, figuring, all right, well, I can hop a quick, you know, flight up to Sacramento or San Francisco and meet the team. We have like 3 days off. So I went and saw a hockey game. We were going to Detroit, so that changed it. I did not remember, you know, that it was that nice an airport. I went through Detroit. Like, that place was so easy to get in and out
of. Oh, it's the best.
And then the long part of the flight, you know, the prices kind of dropped. And so I got into, the Comfort Plus or whatever it was, or premium, and
Comfort
so it was
Plus,
nice.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. Yeah. And then we were delayed. We had about an hour to connect, Incheon in, Korea. And that's a beautiful airport. I was kind of bummed I didn't get to spend time there. It's like the nicest shopping mall you've ever seen in your life, but they just walked us right to the gate and then hopped on the flight and I was here.
All right, so here's what I want to ask you. As we head into training camp, is it fair to say the biggest question facing the Grizzlies right now is what does the whole operation look like under Tuomas?
That's one of them. I think I feel like the bigger question is how is your wing rotation? Who's gonna fill the voids? You lost a very big piece. And not say Kentavious Caldwell-Pope can't step in and be some of what Desmond Bane was. He certainly can. And Jalen Wells should take steps forward. We don't know what Cedric Coward brings to the table. You got to get some production from that 2-3 spot. At which Aaron out, who steps in, is Santi the starter? Is it Gigi? Do you go small four?
Yeah.
There. And obviously Jock Landale comes in and probably becomes the starter until Zach Edey's ready. But I think the production from the wings is going to be key. Now, you have a luxury if, you know, when Ja Morant is healthy and available, he's a 28-point-per-game guy. I mean, he just is. It's whether it's some nights it's not efficient or other nights it's super efficient and there's more assists, that's not the point. You can pretty much figure out that he's the guy. And if Jaren is – if they're working in this offense together, that's where that question, I think, comes in. It's how do they fit in this offense together and maximize their abilities as a 1-2 punch? You know, we were up at league meetings, a week and a half ago, a couple weeks ago, and that's kind of the prevailing thought around the league. The days of the three-person or three-man, like, super teams, and then everybody just kind of fills in a role, those are gone.
The big three, if you will.
The big three, it's more of a two, and then if you can find a third that's young and developing, that's great, or a veteran that can fill it. Like, so with Boston, to me, it was Jrue Holiday. Not because Jrue Holiday was, the greatest offensive player. Jrue Holiday's defense was just nasty. And then they pick up Derek White for basically nothing 1 year, and you're like, well, that's what you need. You need a Derek White who's really good, obviously, I think made Team USA and made an All-Star because of the way he plays, but fits that system perfectly. You need system guys with two guys that can just go. and two guys that to be super high level. And you say, well, what about Oklahoma City? Well, the difference there is that they drafted Jalen Williams and they drafted Chet Holmgren and they grabbed Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The big question still remains, how do they keep that group together when everybody's going to want to come pilfer them? They were still young. They were able to sign an Isaiah Hartenstein, and that was, to me, the biggest move last offseason. I was like, that's puts them right at the top. But you look at what's happened in Denver and guys leaving and guys moving around, it's really hard in today's day and age to keep three guys together. So you got to have guys that fit what you're doing. And if you're going to hitch your wagon to Ja and Jaren, and that's what the team has done clearly by trading Desmond Bane, you've got to make sure that they're on the same page with Tuoma. So I think in that respect, your question is, yeah, that makes sense. But to me, I think the wing is so critical because you have to have production from other places. You just do. We've seen the facts of the matter are that guys don't play, 75 games. I mean, Jaren came close and Ja has not, but most guys don't even, that are healthy for the most part, because that's the way the league is working right now. So you've got to find production from other players that if those guys are out there, they can complement what they do. And if those guys are not out there for whatever reason, obviously Jaren, the beginning of the year, they can produce the enough to keep you competitive. Because as we've discussed and talking about it with many people over the last couple weeks, the West is just brutal. I mean, it's just brutal. We talked about this, I think in our last conversation. Yeah, there's a couple teams that aren't going to be there. Portland will be, I think, better. Utah.
Well, and Portland wasn't that bad of a team in the second half of last year, but we found out.
Yeah, because you go and you let the young guys go. And then what ends up happening, and I've always said this, if you're a good team, the last thing you want to see when your schedule is released is the last 2 weeks where you're playing a bunch of young teams that are going to be out of it but have young players that they want to develop, because those guys, they don't know any better. You might have, a team that's kind of in a transition mode. They don't make the run that they thought they made. They start trading away guys, and all the young guys play. I mean, I remember many years when the Grizzlies weren't good, the years especially that, rest in peace, Michael Heisley said, give me 3 years to build you a team and I will. And then he ended up doing it. But a couple of those years at the end of the season, the Grizzlies were not good. They just weren't a good team. However, at the end of the year, they were winning games they shouldn't, because you had guys getting out there trying to prove that they belong. And I'm not talking about the injury years where you were picking up anything and everything out of the G League off of any roster. I'm talking about guys that have been drafted, guys that were clearly NBA players but needed a chance to get minutes, and you don't always get that if your team has aspirations of being in the playoffs. And so it's dangerous. And so Portland wasn't awful. You're right. Utah, we'll see what they bring to the table this year. But for the most part, we kind of feel like they're not gonna be a part of it. Phoenix, probably not gonna be a part of it. Knocks you down to 12. What is Sacramento? Is San Antonio truly the team that takes the biggest step this year? All right, well, that knocks you down to 10 with those two. But even then, those two are really good. 12 teams? You look at the East, there's not 12 teams in there that you go, oh, wow, that's rough. That's really rough. You got to go there and they're building. And so and part of that is injuries. We all know the door's wide open for Cleveland and New York and those teams. But the West is just – it's brutal, man. There are no nights off. When you load manage, and that was a big topic amongst, a lot of the broadcasters, when you load manage, you better pick your spots wisely. You better, and it could really come to hurt the NBA in terms of these national TV games. If you're going into OKC and it's the first night of a back-to-back and your next night is somewhere you think you can win and you're not going to play certain guys two nights, you're going to sit them against the team that you're going to have a hard time beating even if they play. And so that's going to be an interesting storyline, I think, this year too. But we shall see, my friend. But the training camp, I think getting a full 2 weeks at home before they go on the road to the final two games in Greensboro and Miami, that's huge. That to me is huge for this team, because you're going to have a chance just to, relax, focus, play basketball, have your three home games. Get out on the road for a week, learn what it's like to be, out there together, come back, have some time before you open at home again, for the first three. And that's a benefit as well. So It hasn't been a lot of, there hasn't been a lot of years like that. They try to schedule their preseason games with an intent. I've always noticed that about the front office, that because the front office schedules your preseason games. And I think they've done a good job of doing that with a way to maximize their time. And then, you know, you caught a break, as much as, you know, maybe the trip to Europe is going to be tough and long and whatever. You caught a break in the beginning of the year of being able to be at home and really get some valuable practice time, is because once this train gets rolling, there's not a lot of days where you go hit the gym and have a long, hard practice to work out the kinks.
All right, Eric, we're up against it, so I wish you safe travels on your long journey. Have a great trip, buddy.
Who we got tonight, bud? Who are we looking at tonight?
I kind of want to take Army, but I don't. MUS has got a game at 7, so I'm not really sure how desperate I'm going to be to bet a game while I'm at a game, calling a game.
Thursday night high school football. How do we like? What do we like in the NFL game? See, it's going to be morning here, and that's I'm having breakfast and football.
I kind of think the Cardinals might stink, but they just played the Panthers and the Saints.
Yeah, right. Terrible opening schedule.
Yeah,
I hear you. All right. Well, look, I'll leave it to you to text me your picks. How did we do in the 10 crisp $100 bills week last week?
6-6-1. We just moved some chips around the table. We tipped the dealer and we went home.
Yeah, you had a lot. I was actually listening and you had a lot. So feel free to shoot me a message so I can maybe try to pay for a couple of dinners on this trip.
All right, my man.
Thanks, brother.
Eric Hasseltine of the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network. I want to remind you that Robert Irwin Jewelers is the number one spot to buy your diamond engagement ring. Why might you ask? Well, it's because you get more choices at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They have a large collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. They even make designing a custom-made engagement ring risk-free and easy. You get peace of mind with a meant-to-be guarantee. That means that for any reason, when you buy your loose diamond and your custom-made engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers, you have a full 365 days to return it, no questions asked. You can also have it your way at Robert Irwin Jewelers because every designer diamond engagement ring mounting at Robert Irwin Jewelers is fully customizable to accommodate the center diamond size and shape of your choice. Plus, you can choose from yellow, white, or even rose gold. Also at Robert Irwin Jewelers, they have free ring sizing for life, and also check out the free jewelry spa service for life. You can also ask her now and pay later with great financing options like 24 months deferred interest, or you can take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Robert Irwin Jewelers has been here in the Memphis area for over four.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home. True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.